Okay, this is February 6th, and this is the security meeting. We are, Eric Houston is here, Mark Manlich is here. I'm here, the chairperson, Amelia, and we have some folks in the audience. So it is 10 o'clock, and we're going to start now. I just have a couple comments before we get into the agenda. And those of us who have been here a long time already know about this stuff. But one thing that I always refer back to over the years is a little section in the director's manual called About the District. And there's a section in here about how we got security. And in 1984, I just want to make sure I've got all these dates right. After several months of, I'm just going to read this. The district detached from El Dorado Irrigation District and began providing water, sewer, and drainage services in October of 1983. This generated a revenue stream, fees for services, and the district paid RMA the election costs they had expended on behalf of the district. The property tax revenue formerly going to EID was redirected to the district and is used to offset some of the administrative costs. In recent years, that was 2004 and 5 and 6, the state of California withheld approximately 40% of the property tax revenues to help balance the state budget. So then we went into, since we had a district who's going to provide these services, this is what happened in 1984. The developer, which was PTF through RMPI, Rancho Murrieta Properties, Inc., refused to pay RMA's charges for security. They just said, we're not doing it. Several meetings were held with RMPI representatives, RMA, and the district to discuss resolution of the issues. When no satisfactory resolution could be reached, RMA requested the district to become the provider for security services. So this started out with the developer and then RMA and then everybody refusing to do it, which was probably pretty smart on their part. Anyways, where did I go? After public hearings were held in July of 1984, the district became the service provider for security services. The security employees were terminated after negotiation with the Operating Engineers Union. The district interviewed and hired staff as public employees. Many of the RMA security employees became district security employees. So just a little background on how this whole security thing got started in here and why it got started. I always think history is interesting, to say the least, and sometimes very helpful. So, Mark has done a magnificent job of providing us with an in-depth, in-the-weeds report on security and finances, etc. So, we're gonna start with that. Toward the end, we'll talk a little bit about RMA and security structure. But I wanted to, is it okay if we just go through this and when I have a question?
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Okay, so then, Mark, tell me, yes.
Well, I think if Linda wants to direct you to what portion of that she wants to talk about.
Oh, well, they're just questions as we go along.
Okay.
Okay.
So then we'll start with the security report.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Mark Mann. Okay, I see what you're saying. This is an operations update, and this is specific information, which is if you want to take notes or something. There is one full-time administrative sergeant, and he does a lot of stuff. Where did I see that? Oh. He's in charge of weekly security logs, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And video monitoring of equipment at the gate, the houses, scheduling.
Yes.
He's got a long list of responsibilities.
Yes.
Okay. My question is, we used to have a chief and a sergeant, and the sergeant worked at the gates or on patrol when it was necessary. Does David still do that?
Yes.
Okay. There are 6 full-time and 8 part-time gate officers. And then there are 4 full-time community service officers, which used to be called patrol officers, right?
Yes, the position is slightly different with
the
firearms and everything, but yes.
So how is this, it's definitely different than what we've been doing because we haven't had the finances to fully support a 24/7, 365. So how does this do that? Are we back to where we were before we ran out of money?
So I'm not exactly sure where the staffing level was.
3 patrol and I think 4 or 5 gate officers. Do you remember, Steve? I can't talk.
I think over the years it's been different staffing levels.
Yeah.
Is that right? So, but I will tell you, one of the big issues with the finances was that indirect cost rate. I think before it was grossly over allocated to security. And so that's something that the board corrected in January, I believe, 24. And so now there are the gates have always been, to my knowledge, always been, and they are now 24/7, 365 covered, always.
Okay.
And now with 4 CSOs, so every week there are 21 shifts for patrol.
Yeah.
And that is, there's 3 shifts a day. There's a day shift, a swing shift, and a graveyard shift. And then there's 7 days in a week. So there's 21 shifts that need to be covered. And right now, with 4 full-time CSOs, you got 4 people working 5 days a week. There are enough CSOs to cover 20 of those 21 shifts. And then with the admin sergeant, if you leave a Tuesday day shift open, the admin sergeant can cover any call-outs as necessary. So there is the staffing level to just cover the 21 shifts right now.
And you put this chart in the report.
Yes, and that...
I have some questions on that, but we'll get to that later.
Very good.
Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So we have 2 new iPads set up in patrol vehicles so the CSOs can complete additions. Is everybody hearing me? Additions to security log while in the field, thus keeping CSOs visible in the community a greater part of their shift. Weekly security logs are posted to the district. We also have the weekly security log back on the River Valley Times, or not all of it necessarily, but most of it.
I think it's fully back, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's available for Gale.
Video monitoring equipment at the gatehouses has access to real-time feeds from security surveillance cameras at Calero, Clementia, and over 30 cameras throughout the community. I wanted to make a comment about that because I think those cameras have been an incredible addition to security when we don't have a massive amount of people to patrol or act as CSOs throughout the community. I know that we've gotten lots of information and caught quite a few people doing things they shouldn't have been doing because of our cameras. And myself personally, I think as far as security is concerned, the cameras, if we need more, we need to look at that and we need to work with RMA also on their camera situation. But we are reviewing what is on the cameras. And how often do we do that?
So there's a live feed in each gatehouse throughout the day. And then as needed, if some kind of an incident occurs, then we have access to go and pull and review footage. And several of the employees in security know how to go ahead and review and retrieve footage, and frequently CSD security, and for instance, I know there was a porch pirate incident recently, and from one of those cameras, security was able to pull that footage. Amazing video of the face of the individual and still shots, amazing video and still shots of the vehicle, and amazing video and still shots of the license plate, which is key. And with the license plate information and the image of the person, the Sheriff's Department should be able to go ahead and have a productive action.
I see also that there's a policy and procedures manual rewrite in progress, which is great.
Yes.
Under review of revenue sources and expenditures, and I think that's right on the it is revenue. It's the first discussion item on the agenda. So what you've given us is that security operations are divided into three categories: administration, gates, and patrol. Administration primarily consists of the administrative sergeant, who is responsible for scheduling, general day-to-day management of the department, and is the primary point of contact for the community in security-related matters. Gates consist of gate officers, the gate houses, gate arms, barcode readers, cameras, and related equipment, and ABDI software. Could you fill in the initials?
Application by design.
Okay, yeah.
That's basically, it logs all the license plates and the guest information.
Okay. Patrol consists of community service officers, patrol vehicles, fuel costs, and ABDI software. The following table shows approximately 93% of security operating expenses are attributed to the community behind the gates. First of all, I'm going to suggest that we do this again at the board meeting, but so that people can see this. The chart says operating expenses and amended budget, attribute to behind the gates, and attribute to behind the gates percentage and actual dollars. So security admin is $206,978, which is 82% attributable to behind the gates, and the dollar figure on that is $169,722. Security gates is $799,168. 100% of that is attributed to the gates, and that dollar amount is $799,168. Security patrol is $449,348. We have a percentage which actually changes later in the report. You've got it up there.
I have it up here.
Oh, thank you. That's great. I'm going to continue going through it this way, but it's nice that people can see that. Yay. 87% is actually the percentage of calls that come in, and this was information from Kelly Benitez, who did this report. 87% of the calls that come in to security are from behind the gates. And that ends up being $390,933,000. So that's the total security expenditures. Then there's this part about CSD admin overhead. So I'm not sure how to explain that or if I even understand it. So, Mark, tell me about that.
Sure. So the security department CSD has an admin overhead, right, mm-hmm. as every organization does. And then CSD has five enterprise funds. It's the water, wastewater, drainage, solid waste, and security. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the administrative expenses are allocated per the indirect cost rate that the board approved in January 2024. And in that, 14% of the district's admin overhead costs go to security. And so this is an analysis down the amended budget, the far left column there, the 250,117, mm-hmm. that is that 14% that's allocated to security. And then on the far right column that's attributable to behind the gates, basically the amount of total costs behind the gates versus outside the gates, which is 93%, that percentage was applied to that share of security's overhead, and then that's what you see in the attributable to behind the gates column.
Okay. I'm sorry. I am not getting it.
Yeah,
I understand the basic concept, but
sure.
Why isn't security admin include?
So security has direct administrative costs. The admin sergeant and all of that, all the costs that go with administering and running security directly.
Right.
And then the CSD overhead is that general administrative overhead that's going. Right. And so probably a quicker, easier way to say what that $233,677 is, that's the pro rata share of the admin overhead being allocated to security that would be attributable to behind the gates per the analysis above it.
Does everybody get that? Am I the only one that didn't get it? And then the allocation of patrol costs to behind the gates was based on the following information. 80% of patrol service calls are inside the gates. 90% of the residential addresses are inside the gates. And just a quick note that we always have to remind ourselves, behind the gates, we're there to enforce the CCNRs. And that is the directive that we have for behind the gates, that there are RMA rules, the CCNRs. When you move here, you pay $150, the last time I checked, and you get a big packet of rules and regulations. Security is here to enforce and I don't know, maybe there's a better word than enforce, but for lack of a being able to pull one up right now, that's what our job is for security at the gates and behind the gates.
Well, it's to help with enforcement on some of them, and I think it's the non architectural ones, like parking,
right,
when you're not supposed to be parked somewhere, or
being
in the park after hours, or an unattended guest, those kind of things.
So you can separate some of that stuff out, and I had some comments later on about that. But generally speaking, behind the gates, the rules are made by the CCNRs. Some of it we help with, and some of it
we don't. I'm going to object to that when I speak. That is totally wrong.
So,
well, I will say that the enforcement that CSD Patrol does in relation to certain compliance issues, there is an agreement, an MOU, and RMA does pay for that. So it's not so. Well. There was an MOU that was established, and RMA does pay an amount. And it, to your point, it might be time to update the amounts, but there is an amount paid. It's not.
I'm not negating that the district has other responsibilities besides what's behind the gate. I'm just trying to make the point that. As far as behind the gates go, one of the biggest things that we do is help to enforce the rules. So I'm not sure. Actually, outside of the gate, since they're not enforcing CCNR rules from RMA, one of my questions is, what's the direction? But we can get to that later. Community service officers relieve gate officers for breaks and cover open gate shifts as needed when someone calls in sick or has to leave on short notice. So then we go down to the following table. Shows approximately 84% of monthly security service billing revenue is derived from the inside gates. Can everybody see that?
Uh-huh.
And I had made some notes. Outside... the bills. That's on the next page.
Thank you.
Do you want to stop now?
It's your meeting.
Okay. Is the question?
It's related to revenue services. So let's finish the presentation on revenue services, and then we'll take comments.
Okay. So active accounts. 2,412 inside the gates. Outside the gates, it's 266. Behind the gates, pay. I know on my bill, it's about $33 a month. and on the outside the gates, except for the commercial center, right? So we're talking about the village and we're talking about the gardens.
Correct.
$7.92, and that includes the most recent annual 2% increase, right?
Yes, these are the rates that are in effect now.
Okay. So basically, like you said, the annual revenue on the amended budget is 84% coming in from inside the gates and 16% coming in from outside the gates. And we don't end up with a surplus. We end up with a deficit. Revenue versus expenses, what's coming in versus what's going out.
Right, when we're making those attributions to inside the gates, correct.
And the next page has a monthly household security cost per service addresses, and we just kind of went over that. And I'm not sure if we actually, I had a question about whether or not we actually make up any of that deficit in any particular way from outside the gates. It's just a deficit.
So as a whole, the security department is budgeted to have a very small surplus in the amended budget. Uh-huh. So, but when we peel off inside versus outside, this is an analysis showing inside the gates only.
Okay. Where one thing that changes down under operating expenses, the security patrol actually is about 55%, so, not 87%.
So that's just, I mean, the analysis presents with 87% mm-hmm. based on all those factors that were shown above. I think the two biggest factors would be that 87% of the calls occur inside the gates,
right.
Which that's, you know, I think that's indicative of how much of patrol's time is spent back there, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. personnel is the biggest expense, mm-hmm. and fuel and the vehicles. So, and then the fact that there's 90% of the houses are behind the gates, those would be the two big factors.
Right.
This is just to show, because that number's subjective, right?
Yeah.
The patrol, right? And so this is just to show what it would be like if we were just saying only 55% of patrol's time is spent behind the gates,
okay.
and 45% is outside, which
okay.
that's probably, well, it's subjective. So, but this is just to present, I guess, the low end potentially on the scale, and then maybe the high end, 87% on the scale.
Okay. And when we get down to the bottom of the deficit of $83,703, was it originally planned with the barcodes to make up for that deficit?
The barcode revenue was going to come in about $85,000. So, yes,
mm-hmm.
that would have covered that.
Okay.
And it'd be even.
So let's do questions now, because the rest of this is reports, et cetera.
I do have one public comment from
okay.
Richard Gears. And can I ask, I heard you say you want to have this operating expenses piece on the agenda for, and so we'll just put that in Mark's security report?
Yes,
is that
absolutely.
What you want?
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Where do I begin? You say security. Is their job to enforce CCNRs? No, it isn't. They have a job to do, and on top of that, they've contracted with RMA, and RMA is supposed to be paying them to enforce their CNRs. They're paying some minimum amount, but that's not their main job. And that's one of the biggest things they do. And going on to another thing, this shows the surplus deficit for inside the gate. I think this whole approach was wrong, but what's not being showed, take those numbers and show the surplus deficit outside the gate. Billing is $259,000, more or less. Expenses, $112,000. The surplus is $147,000. So over half the money that we're paying is going someplace else. And that's what I've been talking about all along. But I think this whole approach is wrong. There is not this, the gate, which is inside the gate, inside the gate. And in effect, that's private money. The people who are, is Army's private gate for their private benefit under their control, you know, CSD is staffing it, but the money is coming from people inside the gate. It's almost like private money.
It's not.
They want to use that. They want to use that for the gate. Fine. That's what the purpose is. It's their money. Use it for the gate. The problem is there's two buckets for security. Everybody seems to think, especially the RMA members, that there's security behind the gate and security outside the gate. No. There's inside the gate, there is the gate. Inside and outside the gate, both of them combined, is patrol services. We all pay into that bucket. Every RMA member, everybody outside the gate, pay into that bucket for patrol services. That's public money. In effect, the money collected for the gate, that in effect it's private money. But when you take patrol services, that money, and using it for the gate, that, to say the very least, that's improper. And back when you were using public money, property tax money, I would suggest that was illegal. Using that public money, and there's no way that is not public money. Even though people behind the gate are paying a lot of that money into it, they can't use it for their private purpose. They can't use it to support their gate. I contend that is totally illegal. Fortunately, they're not doing it anymore. But if you look at the analysis that was done by whoever it was back in 1998, the calculation of the rates, they came up with two lumps. A lump of money for the people behind the gate and a lump for people outside the gate. And they did that because it was a tax and that's how it was going to show up on the bills. But the lump for people inside the gate combined two things, money for the gate and money for patrol services. The same patrol services that we are paying for. We pay a slightly different rate because of the algorithm they use to calculate the rates. But and a problem with the way CSD is doing, they don't account for the revenue. They just, that way. It should be divided gate versus patrol services. And I contend, and I can't tell, nobody can tell, that patrol services money, which is applies to everybody in the district, has been used for the gate. The Army's private gate, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe, but there's no way to tell. But the fact that what you've been doing, barcodes, that to a large extent you're eliminating patrol services because you didn't want to leave the gate unstaffed, that sure raised suspicions in my mind. But now that you raise money for barcodes, suddenly we can have patrol services back.
We aren't, that's not what we're doing.
Well, that's what CSD was talking about. Because you could, because you're raising money for barcodes, you can resume patrol service. That certainly suggests that money was taken from patrol services to fund the gate. I mean, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but there is not the accounting to verify that. And I think everybody's attitude was this money collected from people behind the gate is for them to use however they want, and it's not. And, you know, I've been saying that our money outside the gate, I live in Murrieta Village, is being used to, who knows, support the gate. Maybe it is and maybe it isn't, but there's no accounting.
I mean, if, okay.
I've had my 3 minutes, so.
That's okay. Mark, you're going to help me out with this. I don't know that there's actually directive that when we did Measure J, when Measure J was done, that whatever money we collected was supposed to be put in buckets. I mean, I don't know that. Do you know how that was set up, the structure?
Can I just say that I did write an email to the two of you. I don't know if you got it.
I did. But, yeah, okay. It was long. I was confused by it.
Okay. So I don't know in the Measure J if it specifically requires splitting it out. Mm-hmm. In the accounting records, revenue is not split out other than residential and commercial, but we do have billing codes that indicate revenue coming in from the gardens in the village. And then, so that we can peel that off separately. And Amelia, actually, if you scroll up, go to the page before that.
Yeah.
So that is the breakout of revenue from inside the gates and outside the gates. So you can see.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's revenue outside the gate for patrol services. But what's missing is revenue inside the gate for patrol services. That should be one lump sum.
No, we have that.
You do?
Oh, so, okay, I understand. I understand the question now. So, there's the expenses are split between the gates and patrol. And I would say that whatever the expenses are, that's where the revenue is going to cover it, because the district's enterprise funds aren't profit centers. They're just budgeted to, you know, break even or have a very small surplus. So in that regard, if you look at the expense chart, you can infer, you know, where the revenues would be allocated to cover. But expenses are not split with any kind of coding inside or outside, other than its gates and patrol and admin. Yeah, so revenue actually is. So if you look at this chart.
No, revenue is not split.
Inside and outside?
No. Gate versus patrol services.
Right. So you would have to look at expense to see where revenue would be allocated to cover expenditures. And the type of entity this is, it's not a profit-making endeavor. It's just putting bills out to cover the expenses. So the expenses are the driver of where the revenue goes. And so the expenses are split between the three functional areas of security: admin, the gates, and patrol. And so that's how you know where the revenues are going. They're going there to cover those expenses.
Well, I know where they're going. The problem is people behind the gate are paying $32.82 a month.
Actually, it's that's
correct. The rate is up there on the screen.
Yeah,
those are the rates.
But the thing is, part of that is for the gate. Part of that is for patrol services.
It's broken out, isn't it, Mark?
No, it isn't.
No, the rate is just the rate for security services.
I'm looking at the monthly household security cost per address. And it has security admin, security gates, security patrol. And the security patrol is $974. The security gates is $19.91.
Oh, that's expensive.
It's the last page before the report starts.
That's your expense allocation, yeah. Mark, not your revenue.
Yeah, the rates are, there's just one rate for depending on where you live. And the rate has never been, to my knowledge, ever split into you know, two line items on the bill. Here's your rate for the gate. Here's your rate for patrol. It's just, there's just one rate. So, yeah.
Can I say, that's the problem. If you go back to the original analysis in 1988 by whoever it was, they did an analysis prior to the proposition, and they did break it down. For people behind the gate, so much for patrol services, so much for the gate. They lumped it together, and ever since then, it's been lumped together, and everybody's assumed, well, this is security behind the gate, and they can do whatever they want with it. And it's not true. I mean, somehow I suspect I'm beating my head against the wall, which I've been doing for the last 6 years.
For myself personally, I'm looking at this cost to people who live behind the gate and the cost to commercial center, but mostly gardens and the village outside the gate. It's the whole district. But what I see is that your average outside the gate in the village and the gardens of the revenue that we bring in, the cost that is on your bill, is $8 and the approximately 7.8. And the revenue that we bring in from patrol, which is 974, so it's more. Applied the revenue we bring in, and then we apply it to the costs. So we are...
Yeah, you're talking about outside the gate? I mean, what Mark is showing is that you bring in a certain amount of revenue, and the expenses are more than that for people behind the gate. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's why we don't have a balanced...
And it's exactly the opposite for people outside the gate. The expenses are less than what we're paying. You know, we're paying an extra $147,000 above and beyond the expenses outside the gate.
I'm kind of at a loss about that.
I'm not going to belabor this for forever.
Okay, thank you. I do have another comment, ma'am, if you are accepting them now, from Stephen Booth.
It's legal. You're only one up there.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, John. That's where I was going. Wait a minute.
So I know we've been working on this issue a little bit. I have on my screen here the document from 1998, which is Measure J.
Okay.
And Measure J specifies seven purposes for the special tax: operating the security gates located at the entrances to Rancho Murrieta 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, including but not limited to staffing these gates, providing a 24-hour-a-day mobile patrol of the district and its boundaries, operating a radio communication system to maintain contact with external police, fire, and other emergency services, as well as the appropriate entities within the district, providing assistance to other agencies providing first aid, firefighting, police, and emergency services within the district, monitoring, controlling, and registering guests or invitees of district customers and other visitors within the district, conducting such other activities as the board in its discretion may authorize for the protection of district customers and their property, and other incidental costs of providing the services listed above. That was the purpose of Measure J. It set up actually four rates. One was for residential inside the gates metered. One was for residential inside the gates unmetered. One was for residential outside the gates. And then there's a fourth category for non-residential use, which is based on commercial square footage.
Right, which we now have.
If we look at the 265 residential units that comprise gardens and village, that not quite $8 a month generates $24,000 a year and some change. you need to figure out just how much patrol service that pays for.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about strict allocation. Mm-hmm. The reality is the commercial properties with their square footage, now that we've built it up, is actually paying, most of what Mr. Gears is seeing is outside the gate revenue. It's not coming from those residential units. Mm-hmm. It's coming from the commercial properties.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I do have another comment.
Okay.
Beth.
Okay, well.
Microphone.
Thank you, Steve, for explaining Measure J, because I never heard it actually how it was broken down.
I haven't
so
either.
It does
yeah.
say that the gate operations are part of Measure J.
Absolutely.
Because I've been wanting to say, and I have said many times, RMA should pay for the gates because it is for the residents inside the gates. So if you took that portion out, have RMA add it to their budget and bill customers, then the bulk of the rest of what security, what CSD gets for security could be used for an expanded security force, which I would love to see back with firearms and do whatever they want to do and have our little Mayberry back.
We're never
with a little jail. I would love to have a little jail. But anyway, I didn't know that part of it. So if RMA ends up taking over part of security, I think they've all been wondering how would that affect Measure J if they took a portion away or all of it away?
That can't be answered simply. I know that there are some discussions and some thoughts going into that, but that's not happening right now.
Okay.
Thank you. I have no more comments on this topic.
Can I just respond to what Stephen said?
Yeah, go ahead.
James, security.
Stephen seemed to be suggesting that
I wasn't accounting for commercial outside the gate. I'm talking about everybody outside the gate. Not just the village, not just the gardens, but everything outside the commercial. They're collecting $259,000. And the expenses outside the gate are $112,000. So it's not just people in the village, not just people in the garden. It's everybody outside the gate. Somehow we're getting over. These are Mark's numbers. I think his approach is totally wrong. I think it should be broken down gate versus patrol service. But he broke it down inside the gate versus outside the gate. And when I talk about outside the gate, I'm not just talking about the village. I'm not just talking about the gardens, all the commercial. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Shall we continue with the report, ma'am?
Yes.
Very good.
I don't see that we have...
Of course we have.
Any resolution at this point to that question. So as far as what we do, what the security department does, and we always used to keep a couple of reports that we had asked to give us from security, and we're going back to getting those reports. You can look through this. I had a couple questions myself about writing citations, about LIDAR, or LIDAR, how do we call that? LIDAR?
LIDAR, yes.
And so it's one of the things that I don't know if we're ever going to get our community to respond to speed limits and stop signs. It's the biggest thing from as far as RMA is concerned. We don't, let me see if I can put this properly or the right way. We have certain things that we're responsible for and other things that we help RMA with as far as when we're on duty. So, for instance, if I correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't typically handle open garage doors or name something else, Mark. I mean
that we don't handle.
Well, that we don't handle as under.
Well, maybe it's easier to talk about the stuff that they do handle.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's the parking where you're not supposed to park, and mm-hmm. I believe that's just after certain times.
Right.
It's
when
going,
their compliance goes home.
Right. It's going, you know, out in the backwoods when you know when you're not when the time is done to be back there. It's, but even that I think is just a general patrol thing. Maybe it's another one I guess that would fall under RMA would be being in the park or at Clementia and in that area as an unattended guest. So those kind of things. There's just a small list of things that RMA does pay for assistance with writing citations
okay,
in.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes.
All right. So anyways, we keep track of that. RMA keeps track of it, and we get a report from them, right, Amelia?
And it's showing on the screen now?
Yeah, right. And it's always interesting to look at and to see, but if you look down at the bottom, citations written by RMA is always larger than citations written by RMCSD because of what we just talked about. And a lot of, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of what we do when they don't have compliance officers at after hours. And RMA doesn't.
I believe so because I think the parking is the overnight parking. So you can see there the biggest citation line item is overnight street parking,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think their compliance officers generally work outside of a. You know, nine
sometimes
to five
I think they have a schedule where sometimes they work to 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
They're riding around at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, 2, 3, 4. They do some shifts.
So they must have changed their schedules in
they
the
do,
last
yeah.
year or so. That would be interesting to know when they're on and when they're not on. So, one of the questions I had was, does RMA write citations across the street?
Outside of the gates?
Outside of the gates.
No.
I didn't think so, right. So,
neither does CSD.
Oh, no, I know.
Right, okay.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at. And the rules and regulations, laws that our county and state are applied to the commercial center and outside the gates, but not the CC&Rs. In other words, they can't take the CC&Rs across the street.
They're all private roads.
Right.
Right.
It requires special ordinance to allow enforcement on a private road.
Okay. So that means we are not writing citations, right? Other than that, I'm looking at the incidents of note. One of the big problems seems to be people who, and this has gone on for years, people who are in here and they're supposed to be accompanied by a resident and they're not, particularly in the back reservoirs, the back lakes. And that brings up a couple of questions that I, or suggestions that I would like to talk about. There's a lot that goes on in here. And it's pretty hard to, from my perspective anyways, it's pretty hard to manage all of that. And we have had some improvements in things. We have a better situation with the Sacramento County. Sheriffs explain exactly, they changed their, we fall under a different section of their county control.
That's correct. So the Rancho Marietta used to be assigned to the Sac County Sheriff office that was headquartered out of the, down in the Delta, down by, or that had territory all going all the way out to like Antioch. And and sometimes it would take a very long time to get up to this area. Just in the last year, they have transferred over to their office out of Rancho Cordova. So the response times would be a lot faster. Now, Rancho Cordova is probably a busier territory than out in the Delta, but still, they're a lot closer.
Still, the response time has got to be faster.
And they probably have more resources. And then we have the VIPS that's come back here, so that's kind of reinvigorated the relationship. And recently, some sheriff deputies came in, and we talked to them a little bit. And they talked about how they used to use the safety center when they were out in this area to take a break or to write reports, which is great because that keeps them here in this area. And so what we did is we said, hey, we'll make access available to you in this space. And this space, when you're in here, you can get to the kitchen and you can get to the restrooms. And then the rest of the CSD admin office is can be locked off. And so they're very appreciative of that, and so they have the ability to use this space to take a break or write reports or to use the restroom or use the kitchen to have their lunch. And it's great. It works for them if they're out there if they're out in this area working hard. And then it also, you know, if they use this as a stopover point, then, you know, they'll be out here, which is great.
Right. If we look at the last page
of the security
of the report.
Okay, so let's pop back up to the agenda really quick. The next item was the position with RMA. Did you want to discuss that? Or
not yet.
Discussed that?
No, I wanted to talk about the last page on the on Mark's report. The chart.
Is that the schedule, Linda? The schedule?
Yeah, the schedule. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I need translation. What's WW?
These are just the CSO's initials, just so we can discern the four different people.
Okay. And WG?
They're just the initials.
Of who?
So Wayne, Warlito, Paul, and Vitaly.
Okay. VIP, could you make a couple comments on what exactly they do and where they come from and, you know.
VIPs?
VIP, yeah. Well, VIP, yes.
No, well, VP on the schedule here, those are somebody's initials, Vitaly.
I'm thinking that was VIP. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's just VP, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Vitaly.
Okay.
Yeah, Vitaly.
We can ask about VIP anyways, if that's all right with you, to describe what we brought them back. They used to be here. They're a member of the community, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. There's two different people that are doing it. They're here on Mondays. And they're available. I believe they're out in the community actively liaising with different community groups and the commercial businesses, and they're here to take reports. It's just, you know, it's a great service, and we're happy to have them back. And you know, we had that one event here. That could be a potential. If the security committee wants to do another meet and greet with the community with the VIP, I think that could be great. And I think they live here in the community, so I think that's something we could have access to this room on a Saturday, and they could come in here and do a meet and greet on a Saturday, should you desire that.
Yeah. Okay, back to the chart, now that I've got that straightened out. There's no coverage on Sunday and Monday. Daytime or swing?
So this is the current schedule right now.
Okay.
And there are, and you can see here, there's three shifts a day, and there's 7 days in the week. So every week there's 21 shifts that need to be filled. We have four CSOs that are working full-time. So full-time is 5 days of work, right? So 4 times 5 is 20. So we have the ability with our CSO staff for the budget to cover 20 of the 21 shifts.
Right.
If we were to schedule the off shift on a day shift on Monday, Tuesday, whatever, our administrative sergeant. So right now, this is the current schedule that they're using right now. And, mm-hmm. and keep in mind, we just went live with the 4 CSO staffing
with this,
level.
With this schedule.
Right. And so right now, and I should have put his name up there, but our administrative sergeant, David, is covering the Monday day shift.
Oh, okay.
But what we've started, and I believe I've heard recommendations to potentially double up on the later night shifts, maybe when more high-risk stuff might be happening. We do have, so you see there on mm-hmm. some of the graveyard shifts during the week, there are three shifts where we have two CSOs working to cover anything that might happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this is completely open. If we wanted to cover every shift, we could. We could take, so you see there, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Paul is also working with Vitaly on that grave shift.
Mm-hmm.
We could take Paul and we could cover a couple more shifts during the week, and then we would have one open shift during the week and we could cover it with David, the admin sergeant acting right now. So we could cover every single shift every day at the current staffing level. Or we could identify higher risk times or potentially higher risk times and days, and that's the approach that they're experimenting with here, and double up sometimes. But if you double up sometimes, then you're going to leave certain shifts
right
open. So that's what you see here.
Okay, thanks, mm-hmm. Mark, because I was one of the people who suggested that we look at the scheduling and see if there weren't ways that we could move things around. I think that there's a lot more conversation that we could have about this. And taking into consideration the time of year, the time of day, whether kids are in school or not in school, those are the kinds of things that we probably could look at as far as when we need coverage and possibly double coverage,
mm-hmm.
and how that would work out. So let's put that on the burner to continue to look at.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Moving right along. A couple of comments about our position with RMA. There's been a lot of talk for a couple years anyways, about RMA taking over security. That has not been decided. It has not been, it's a work in process, I guess you would say. There's a lot of things that have to be done. There's a lot of things that have to be discussed. And there's a lot of legalities that have to be taken into consideration. So I really can't say much more about that. It's not a happening thing as at this point. And we just, I think we pretty much...
I do have a comment from the public.
Current topic?
RMA.
Yes.
I'd just like to say that I'd like to know what's going on. I know absolutely nothing, and apparently some people do know. I think it would be good to share what information you do know.
I don't know.
We're definitely, the public's definitely going to be affected, and if something's going on, we should have some knowledge, maybe some input.
Well, the only thing I can comment on is that it's been discussed for several years.
What's been discussed?
RMA taking over security
for
behind the
gates.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'd just like to say, before a decision is made, we need to have some input.
Well, we're not even there.
Okay.
It's just that it's been on social media. It's been suggested numbers of times. It's been part of discussion from a couple years ago, et cetera. So it's there. That's all. I don't know what else to say about it. Review security structure. I think we've actually
done
that.
We just did that. Yeah, that was the last chart. So,
Mark, is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, Linda, thank you.
I feel like this is a start, but we're going to operate security as best as we can with as many ideas and suggestions. We're going to continue to have security meetings. We're going to continue to discuss how we can do it, how we can do it better, what's happening. Mark's going to keep us up to date on that. And other than that, I don't...
So you have to ask for public comment, which we don't have any.
Yeah.
Okay.
Public comment?
No.
Okay. We're going to adjourn the meeting. It's 11.
On the dot.
On the dot. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Linda.
No.